The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
who
different.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis? Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Razzlecast. This is episode 125, according to Don. I'm Samuel Kalunga, and with me, as always, is Miss Didi Janae, the sensational Didi Janae.
Hey, friends.
And also joining us is the Don of the Razzlecast, Mr. Don DeLaurenti.
Bada boom, realest podcast in the room. How y'all doing?
And we found him. We finally found our friend, Mr. Greg, Magnum Prime. Greg the man. Greg the hammer. There you go.
Back from the upside down, the ceiling's roof.
Alrighty. So,
can somebody explain to me what the ceiling is the roof means? What does it mean?
It means Michael Jordan was drinking the finest of something and got out there on the microphone and misspoke.
What did he mean?
I think he meant the like something like the sky is the limit, but. Yeah.
He said the sky's the ceiling or what?
The ceiling.
But he
is
said the
roof.
Ceiling is roof.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's a lesson. It's Saturday night. He was probably feeling real good.
The ceiling is the roof. Okay,
that's the name of the show, baby. The ceiling is the roof.
That's probably accurate, yeah.
All right, so there's wrestling to be talked, to be spoke about. Now, as you may or may not know, Mr. Kurt Angle is going into the WWE Hall of Fame, and he will be inducted by none other than Mr. Juan Cena.
Ew.
Gross. Who would you want to induct him?
Literally anybody else. American Alpha, Stone Cold.
American Alpha.
Booker T would have been cool.
Booker T. Scott Steiner, like, I don't care.
Scott Steiner. Oh,
no. You don't want Scott Steiner dunking anyone.
Karen Angle,
please, yeah.
Whoever. Like, I
just you'll start talking.
Wow.
You'll start. Wow, Karen, really? Karen Jenga.
It's serious.
Yeah, I don't think you want Scott Steiner with a live mic. You don't want that. You'll start talking about King Arthur again. So that's a thing. Don, who would you like to see induct him?
I said already, I like to see Booker T.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The five-time.
Yeah, they had some pretty good angles. Thing with Charmel and everything. That was pretty notable.
What about you, Greg?
Stone Cold, because the interaction they had together. But I don't know if Steve is really trying to do a lot for WWE TV right now.
He's too busy drinking his wines.
Yeah.
All right, so that's going to happen, apparently. So next up, are you guys familiar with Io Shirai? She's basically the Japanese female John Cena. She's like a superstar over there in Japan. She wrestles for Stardom. And apparently she had a tryout at the Performance Center. So, oh, yeah, she was also in Lucha Underground. She's one of the Black Lotus Triad girls.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, she had a tryout, so hopefully we'll be seeing her soon. And actually, like a lot of girls from Stardom, the promotion in Japan, are jumping ship, and they're probably going to be without some talent for a while, so things aren't looking very good for them.
Are they having money problems? Bad booking? What's the deal?
I don't really know. Like, I think it's a stepping stone. It's like Ring of Honor. No one go, you know, Ring of Honor is not the destination. It's where you go to, you know, better yourself. So hopefully that something good can happen out of that, because she's really good. Other names at the tryouts was Delilah Doom. She was the jobber. I think she was one of Nia's jobbers twice. She was the one who was all sparkly and stuff. She was all bright colored. I don't know if y'all remember her. Let's see, who else got a... Oh, Greg, you're going to love this one. Wes Briscoe also got a tryout.
Tremendous.
Or as I used to call him, East Briscoe. The son of Gerald Briscoe.
Hey, man, they got to do a favor every now and again.
Right. Got from a bone, yeah.
Yeah, man, I mean, Gerald Briscoe took a lot of beating from Stone Cold as a little stooge to Mr. McMahon. That's the least they could do.
To Mr. McMahon.
Mr. McMahon.
You're right. Okay, so those are all the tryouts for the week. So, let's see. So, Jack Swagger has finally officially been released by WWE. He actually announced his release earlier and started booking himself, you know, because he thought he was big and bad. And then WWE was like, nah, player. Like, you get released when we take. Or as Don said earlier, the bill doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you.
Oops.
So what do y'all think about this? Him finally leaving.
He might be a big star in New Japan. He's got the perfect build. He's big. He's raw bone. He can wrestle like amateur for real. So he would probably fit in. Wouldn't really need a gimmick. He could just go be himself.
So WWE wishes Swagger the best in all his future endeavors. Okay, what else? And finally, for some sad news, Dennis Stamp passed away after battling cancer, 68. So he's best known for his role in Beyond the Mat. He was also an AWA guy for a while, and he did and he was a jobber for WWF for a minute. He retired and worked for a pest control company for a few years. So, yeah, what do y'all think about this? Thoughts?
You got to hit him with the line.
Oh yeah, he's finally booked in heaven.
Just one of the classic characters in wrestling. Like, if most people who've ever seen Beyond the Mat, the two things that really stand out, maybe the three things, are the Mick Foley segment where he takes the chairs to the head, Jake the Snake, and then the backstage with Dennis Stamp. So definitely left his mark.
I remember he was on MySpace, and like half the questions were, "Do you do any tricks yet?" Because remember when he was on the trampoline, he said, "I don't do any tricks."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Beyond the Mat in so long.
Yeah, I actually had a bootleg copy a long time ago. It's so funny.
I went to the theater like the first day it came out to see that first night.
I remember it was on the. It was one of the. You know how like back in the day you bought a tape or rented a tape and they had trailers at the beginning. It was one of the beginning trailers for American Pie. I remember me and my friends saw that and were like, holy crap, what is this? Because they were selling it as, this is the movie that Vince McMahon does not want you to see.
Right.
And so like we were like, we have to see this. And the only place that they were really showing it was in like the Hood. And my friend did not want to go. And I was like, man, you're just a punk.
As a side note, if you guys are really into that or want to know more about that, check out the Bruce Prichard podcast. They talk all about kind of their involvement, at least his involvement with the movie and how it got made from there in.
Right. Okay, so that is your news for this week. Does anyone else have anything else? Anything?
Anything? No.
Tomorrow's my half birthday.
So that's anything it. At all? Nothing else?
News. That's
it. Did you say your 6 month birthday? Is that what tomorrow is?
My half birthday. I'm 30.
I didn't know.
I do that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I take every. Well, it's St. Patrick's Day. Duh.
So you take every chance to celebrate that you can.
Like, you need an excuse. Like, you need an excuse. Come on.
Listen, you find ways to get free drinks. It's my birthday. Well, I have birthday.
Are you going to be wearing your green tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely I am. And I'm going to pinch those who aren't wearing green. I sure will.
Okay. Yep. I never wear.
You don't participate, Sam? I'm so shocked.
I dare someone to pinch me. Come on.
Yeah, you do look like you carry a razor on you. Like,
Look at Sean Sism.
No, it's not Sism. It's just, you know. Just because, you know, I don't.
Jeez. So.
No, I think it's because Sism, because last week she called Del Rio's wife Maria. And they was like, is that really her name? And she was like,
no.
I don't even know her name. I don't know who her name is. I'm just saying.
I mean, in my defense, Alberto doesn't know it either. Like, it's fine.
It's okay. Well, I think he just chooses not to know it.
Same. So it's like, if he doesn't know, how could I possibly know? He never told anybody. Oh, her name is Angela.
That's definitely Wrestling with Shadows.
Close enough.
Alberto in his sunny days. So, let's move on, shall we? Let's move on to the show that no one wants to watch, but I had to watch it because reasons. It's called Monday Night Raw. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It goes 3 hours on every Monday night. It's the worst. I want to hang myself every time it comes on.
Oh my gosh, tell us how you really feel, Sam.
All right, so are you guys ready? I actually know someone who was at the show, Katana Squirrel on Twitter. He was at the show. And he said it was just business as usual, nothing weird or anything happened. So, Monday Night Raw from Detroit, Michigan. The show begins with a video recap of the Lesnar-Goldberg segment for last week. Then Brock Lesnar comes down to cut a boring 20-minute promo. Heyman talks and talks. Stephanie Micker backstage. She talks about having to separate business and personal stuff. She says she's trying to nurture Mick. She tells him that by the end of tonight, she wants him to trim the fat and fire one WWE superstar. So we have Sasha Banks versus Dana Brooke. Dana starts out on the offensive. She clobbers Sasha for a while. Sasha sets up Dana for a German suplex, but she rolls her up instead, getting the pin by holding the tights. So one thing I've noticed here about Dana is just like her selling. She really oversells. She looks really goofy when she does it too. Like she's just hamming it up. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not.
I'd agree.
Was that great?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, okay. So he's like, I used to take acting classes. And one thing they always told us is like, don't overact because it makes you look silly. That someone should have told that to Dana because she looks really goofy. So after the match, Charlotte calls Dana a disgrace. She berates her and says she's getting rid of her. Dana shakes her head, hulks up, and just pops her in the mouth and goes after Charlotte. Of course, this will amount to nothing. They'll have one match next week that Charlotte will win. Dana is basically Alex Riley. After this, she won't do anything else in her career, and that'll be it. That'll be the end of her. Now, did you guys know, a little tidbit here, Dana versus Charlotte was originally supposed to be this year's Mania title match. This was before everyone saw how awful she was.
Yeah. Unfortunately for Dana, she didn't progress like everybody thought she would.
Yeah. So the crowd chants for Dana. And for the first time ever, I hear Dana Brooks' music. I've never heard this song before. Have you guys?
Shade.
No, it's not Shade. It's just like they never do anything with her. Okay, so the Warrior Award recipient is announced. Don, do you know anything about this guy, this fella?
Yeah, Eric LeGrand. He used to play for Rutgers. He unfortunately got hit and paralyzed on the field. And he's, you know, just a symbol of courage, which what the Warrior Award is about. So, yeah, he's very deserving.
Hey, I have a question. Is he going to get a chance to speak this year, or is the Warrior's wife going to take all his time?
Hopefully he'll get a chance to speak. That's what he does. He's like a motivational type speaker. So hopefully, yeah, he'll get a chance to showcase some of his wares.
I hope so. Awesome. You know, it's about him, not really about her. That's just me. That's just something I noticed. It was about
a right. Kid.
Well, all right, Greg. her husband did just that, Greg. It's the first year. Come on.
Come on, Greg. Be sensitive.
Had even his life fully passed away. It's like you're not gonna have respect for the kid's life or his family. That was weird. I know I was the only person that noticed that. That was weird. But right, I know she had to have a grieving moment, but that was weird.
So the next match, it's Tony Nese and the Brian Kendrick against Akira Tozawa and TJP. Nese and Tozawa start the match. The commentators go over the life lessons that Kendrick has been trying to instill in one young Mr. Tozawa. TJP does a pretty good hurricane run on the apron when Nese tries to come after Tozawa on the floor. Neville, who looks like he's been hanging out in the Misty Mountains with Smeagol, is watching the match on the monitor backstage. Nese eventually gets the victory by shoving TJP into Tozawa, who spills out onto the floor, and then rolls up TJP for the win.
So before we move on from TJP, Didi, what's your gimmick?
I'm a grown-ass woman, dog.
Okay.
No, it's what's TJP's gimmick? He plays video games. Now, what's Dee's gimmick?
I'm a grown-ass woman.
She's a grown-ass woman, right. So, yeah, so what do y'all think about poor TJ now?
I think he might be turning heel soon.
Hopefully. We'll see. I don't know. He just, like, comes out one day, he's like, I don't like video games anymore, and then people just start bullying him. So the interview robot interviews the alt-right. She asks them who they would rather face at Mania. Anderson wants to know why they keep asking about other teams that they've already beaten. Gallows calls them nerds, and that's pretty much about it. So your boy Kevin Owens comes down. He says that he was never Chris Jericho's best friend. It was all a ruse, of course. But he says that being... That being said, he claims that Jericho was never truly his friend either. He just wanted to get close to him so he could take his title. But Owens is going to take Jericho's title instead. And the only thing left will be the tears of Jericho. Cry it out, man. That was pretty good.
It's very good.
So, of course, it leads to a tag match. A straight-up tag team match. Chris Jericho and Sami Zayn against Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens. The refs disqualify Owens and Joe for kicking too much ass. Jericho and KO start going at it after the match, but Joe attacks Jericho from behind and saves Owens. They start to jump Jericho, beating him down 2-on-1. The refs come out and separate them all. Steph and Micker backstage. Steph wants to know if he needs help. She calls out Sami Zayn, saying he is an underperformer. Nia interrupts. Did you notice she was, like, corpsing at all during this? I don't know, Greg, did you notice that?
No, I didn't pick up on it.
Yeah, like, when she walked up, she was, like, laughing at what Stephanie just said. But she was trying to stifle it.
Uh-oh. Well, if she can do that, I'm sure someone backstage knows.
I'm like, did she tell her a funny joke? I mean, I'd like to... I want to hear this joke. So Nia interrupts and says she wants justice for what's been going on in the title picture. Stephanie agrees that Nia needs to be in title contention. So she puts her in a match against Bayley. Jinder Mahal wants to know about the whole getting fired thing. Mick then puts him in a match against Roman Reigns. New Day Talks segment. They interview Big Show about the Jetson movie. Titus O'Neil interrupts. Show and Titus jawjack for a bit. Titus shows him and that's that. Enzo and Cass versus Sheamus and Cesaro for the number one contendership. Now during the match, Gallows and Anderson come out and they attack both teams, resulting in a no contest. Footage is shown last week from when Strowman came out and called out Roman Reigns, but then Undertaker came out and he called out Roman Reigns as well, or whatever, however the hell that happened. What did you guys think of Strowman as the big giant backing down for the Undertaker? What did y'all think? I thought it was fine, but some people had a problem with it.
It was a business decision. It was smart.
Right, he didn't want to tangle with the Taker, huh?
Right, it wasn't the time yet. I got no beef with you.
Right. Well, Didi, what do you think?
I think Braun Strowman is a punk.
Okay, Greg.
What she said.
So two. Okay. All right. So backstage, Gallows and Anderson are elated about not having a match at Mania. I guess they don't want that Mania payday. I guess. I mean, so Foley, who's already pissed off, tells them that not only do they have a Mania match, but it's against both teams. Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal. Roman wins with a Superman punch in under 3 minutes. Good job. After the match, Roman calls out Taker and says he's not messing around. But Shawn Michaels comes out instead and plays the role of the wily veteran who tells the young buck that he shouldn't take Taker too lightly and whatnot. Roman Reigns...
The annual Shawn Michaels. You don't know what you're getting into, kid.
Right. He does it. Yeah, he does it every year. He did it to Triple H and he did it to everybody else. Roman responds by telling HBK that Undertaker retired you. Roman starts to walk to the back. He turns his head to face Michaels. Suddenly, out of nowhere, Strowman comes out and shoves the holy fuck out of Roman Reigns. Roman's selling of this was 100% gold.
I don't think he was selling. I think that.
I don't think that was real.
I think Braun Strowman just wiped him out and knocked his ass off his feet. He had no choice but to do that.
Okay, like, if you didn't watch this, try to find the clip online and check the replay. He totally ragdolled him. At first, I thought it was an actual doll rolling down the ramp. That's what it looked like. Like he was playing a bowling and he just hit a gutter ball. So yeah. Did you see this? Wasn't this great?
That might have been.
It looks so funny. Mm-hmm. So Mick and Stephanie are backstage again. They go over the whole firing someone thing. She tells him that he has 1 hour to make the decision, and if he doesn't, she might do it, and it will be a result that he might not like. Aries and Neville recap. Then Austin Aries versus Daivari. At this point, Daivari is 205's jobber when they're trying to push a guy. He's like Hugh Morris or Barry Horowitz.
I thought Sean Hugh Stephen. Morris was so handsome.
Really? You know the guy was a huge racist, right?
Yeah, well, this was before everybody knew everybody's business. I just saw the chunky Caucasian. I was like, he's cute. Like, why would you want to kill my vibe like that, Samuel? It's already Trump's America. Like, let me have my moments.
Okay. Wait, but like, you get your motor going, but
Manny Fernandez does now, but yeah, back then I thought
Manny Fernandez did nothing for you, huh?
No. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go look up humorous. Maybe I'm. He was handsome. I'm not crazy, but let me just double check. Because you know, maybe my mind's playing tricks on me.
Like Scarface. Fills
him up, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if he's racist, that sucks. But I didn't know that back then.
Yeah, he's a horrible person in general.
What they fired. They fired his aesthetics.
Well, if there was somebody I used to know who was beautiful, but she was a huge racist, and I just couldn't get down with that. So.
Oh, you mean Seth Rollins' girlfriend? Yeah, I mean it happens.
Oh. Yeah.
No. Oh.
I mean, listen. You leave your girlfriend, you leave your fiance for a Nazi. I mean, what do you expect?
You know, but you know, he knows Black Lives Matter now. People change.
Right.
People change.
He's woke Rollins, right?
All you got to do is be friends with. What's his name? Xavier. What they call him, Ezekiel. Yeah.
Ezekiel. Morphism from the. Maybe that's why you're in the humorous.
Why? Because I'm racist too. It's possible.
Yeah, you're both.
Fully possible. Fully possible.
All right, Big Show versus Titus. Squash match. Rusev on Twitter mentioned that maybe Titus is having surgery as well. Don, did you pick up on this?
I did not at all. I don't even get
okay. So okay, so when Big Show squashed Rusev at the pay per view, the word on the street was, "Oh,
okay, Rusev's going to have surgery." Yeah, okay.
So then Rusev on Twitter says, "Well, maybe Titus is having surgery too. Look, he squashed him."
Oh, okay, I got it now. Yeah, but unfortunately, Rusev really is going to go have shoulder surgery though.
Right. So, yes, in case you guys were wondering, this is the only O'Neal that show will be facing anytime soon. And believe that. Okay, so Bailey and Sasha are backstage. Sasha, playing the role of a terrible friend, tells Bailey not to listen to the haters. Of course, Bailey asks, what haters? And Sasha is officially the worst friend ever. Didi, have you ever had friends like this?
What kind of friends?
Who's like, you know, who kind of like try to stir the pot. That's what it looks like Sasha's doing with Bailey here.
You think she's stirring the pot?
Because she's like, oh, don't pay attention to what the haters say. And Bailey's like, what are you talking about? What haters?
Well, that's not stirring the pot so much as she's being oblivious.
So you think Bailey's just being oblivious?
Yeah, I mean, the haters are clearly Charlotte and Stephanie. Like, it's not like it's, like, it doesn't have to be like, who's saying these things? Gasp. Like,
who's saying these awful things?
You already know who's saying the things. The same person who said the things to you in the ring, and plus also Corey. Like, you already know who the haters are. Like, what?
A couple?
Acting like you know who. Like, right, you know who. So it's just like, oh, girl.
So that's how you took it. I see it as just like her trying to, you know, trying to stir the girl up. Because she's a horrible friend.
Oh, it's because she's black.
That's exactly why.
I know.
So yeah, like after seeing when I thought this, I was like, they better be building towards something between these two. Otherwise, Sasha's like the worst baby face ever. Okay, so Mike Rome interviews Jericho. Jericho calls on Tom Phillips and then puts him on the list. So do you guys think that we should be getting a happy, jokey face Jericho now, or should he be the serious man on a mission type Jericho?
I appreciate that he can do both.
I'll get you a man that can do both?
Yeah, well-rounded. Right. Mm-hmm.
Like humorous?
I mean, pre-racism, sure, yeah.
Don and Greg, what do y'all think?
I don't have a problem with it. It's Jericho's character. It's the same way he was acting before. So why should he change now?
Because he's angry. He's pissed. I would be pissed too.
Well, I mean, like, he's angry and pissed, but he's doing it in his Chris Jericho way.
Yeah. So the big question I have is, did Jericho put Rome on the list or did he put Tom Phillips on the list?
He put Tom Phillips on the list.
So Mike Rome is safe then. Okay.
Yes.
There is no Mike Rome.
There's no such thing as Mike Rome.
It's just Tom Phillips on
the list. He knows Tom Phillips when he sees him.
There is no Dana, only the
Dirty Bird.
The Dirty Bird, yeah. Okay, so Nia Jax
for Tom Phillips half.
Right.
The
ace that fucks the face.
There you go.
Nia Jax versus Bayley. So Nia beat up Bayley and was disqualified for kicking too much ass. Cole said that this was Nia making a statement, but does anyone else, including Nia, realize that this was just Stephanie manipulating her into pummeling the girl that she hates? Anybody?
Didn't see it that way yet. Haven't made that connection. But if they do make it where Nia is the heavy, the muscle for Stephanie, oh yeah, they definitely got to do Sasha versus Stephanie's angle then.
Oh God. Even though this was Bailey that she was beating up.
Well, you know. Bailey is going to go on to bigger and better things because she's the champion.
Yeah, you're hilarious. Anyway, Foley and Stephanie are in the ring. Stephanie wants to know what Foley's decision is. Foley says that the superstar getting fired tonight is Stephanie, since she's a terrible human being. Stephanie loses her cool and calls Foley a broken down shell of himself, like they've been telling us for months now. And that was it. Foley just went off. He tore into Stephanie, but then Triple H's music played, and of course, Uncle Hunter from NXT gets cheered from the Detroit crowd. Triple H leads into Foley, making mention of how his kids work for WWE and how Foley just made a huge mistake. Triple H tells Foley to stand in the corner and shut up. So Stephanie cuts a promo on how people in the crowd should go to work the next day and thank their boss that they still have a job. Meanwhile, Foley, with his back turned to the camera, looks to have pulled something out of his tights. The crowd pops. Hunter notices this, goes to see what the commotion is. Foley turns around and gives him Mr. Sacco. And of course, Stephanie, you know, has to get her shit in. So she gives him a low blow. So then Seth Rollins comes out hobbling on a crutch like he's Bret Hart after Owen kicked his leg out of his leg. He makes it down to the ring and throws the crutch away. He then gets in the ring and fights it out with Hunter. Hunter gets the upper hand and attacks his hurt leg. So apparently this was done as a cop-out just in case Seth can't make it to Mania. And this gives him an out. And he hurls off again. And Rollins does have that new Kingslayer shirt. It's really cool. Did y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he ends the show. Good night to all.
Is that true?
That is true.
Oh, okay.
That is true. We ended with Triple H with his shirt off.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about who else want to fuck with Hollywood Court.
DD is like, let me go see the replay on that.
Sour Patches.
I'm going to do Sour Patches. Stars.
You don't do Stars.
This also gets a minus 5 stars.
You don't do Sour Patches. I mean, Stars. There's nothing bright about your outlook on Raw.
Okay. Yeah, this was another bad show.
DD, you're gummy worm, gummy bear.
It was like a 7. It went down to a 6. It went back up to a 7 when Triple H took his shirt off. Yeah,
I agree with you. It was like a 7.
Excuse me, Dana. Can you talk to us about what just happened with Charlotte up there?
Absolutely. I mean, that was a long time coming. I mean, I felt it. I couldn't take it any longer. I mean, playtime is over. That felt amazing. And I am not finished with her yet.
So next up is that show that comes on Tuesday night. And why do we watch it, Dee Dee?
SmackDown Matters.
All right, go for it.
#. Okay, this week they were in Pittsburgh. Never mind. They were in Pittsburgh.
Mel should have found her way backstage so she could have, like, you know, maybe got her...
I'm sure she could
down of Apollo Crews or something.
No, you know, she still likes Randy Orton, I think.
Oh, really?
I think she's still a fan of All Eyes Orton, yeah.
My friend Tara was at the show, and I'm trying to get her on the show to come on with us. Hopefully she can make it sometime.
Who is Tara?
My friend
Tara.
She
lives in Pittsburgh?
She lives there, and she was at the show. She's a closet WWE fan. I had no idea, so she started... Like, every time they go to Pittsburgh now, she's there, and she's posting about it. Other than that, I never ever...
I mean, maybe she's just trying to get in Seth Rollins's... No, because that's not... Yeah, I don't
know. Well, she likes white dudes, so, yeah,
probably. You know, in Trump's America, it's a little difficult, but same. Yeah.
All right, you go ahead.
JK, I love everybody. I love anybody who loves me and has all their teeth. Daniel Bryan makes a match for Mickie James and Alexa for later on. AJ barges in on Daniel looking for Shane. And he's like, no, Daniel's like, calm down. And AJ's like, I'm going to slap the next person who tells me that. And then AJ's like, I know I can't do anything to you, but I can do something to Shane. Which doesn't really make sense, because should you really be able to do anything to Shane? So AJ goes to the ring, and, you know, everybody still likes him and things, even though he lost last week and he's having a nervous breakdown. He marches to the ring. He says he's sick of the treatment he's been getting from Daniel and Shane. He has to jump through hoops, unlike John Cena, who just went and asked his brother-in-law for the title match at Royal Rumble. And he's like, yeah, I lost, but I never got a one-on-one rematch. He talked about the Battle Royal, beating Luke. He also brought up Randy Orton, who should be in jail. He said he had the best 2016. He put SmackDown on the map, put people in the seats. And despite all that, he doesn't have a match at WrestleMania. And then the crowd booed. And he calls Daniel a puppet, and he will address Shane about his career tonight. So they make a point. Do we care? We don't care.
No, I thought the intro was fantastic. I mean, he was spitting that truth.
Yeah, I liked it, but in my head I was thinking, I bet Sam thinks this is a boring 10-minute promo.
It really wasn't 10 minutes. It was probably like six and a half.
It was 10 to the start. Well, actually, it was like 9.
It's okay. I didn't watch it.
Because when he walked out of the ring, it was like 8 or 9. But yeah, either way, you were on my mind, Sam. David Otunga is not there because he's filming a movie.
Strictly DVD.
As all the WWE movies are. And Mauro Ranallo isn't there because of travel issues. I don't know. But anyway.
It was a blizzard. You might have heard.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Matthews had something funny to say about this. He's like, oh, Mauro can't make it, but I had to travel with Taz back in the day up the hill both ways.
That's interesting. See, I'm a nosy person. I always wonder, like, where'd you come from that you got stuck and nobody else did? But maybe he just went home to see his family and things.
He went to see his mama mia.
First match of the night is Becky versus Natty Bo. The announcers say that there's going to be a women's title match at WrestleMania, but they don't know exactly what kind. Natty calls for a timeout and puts her hand up for a handshake, and Becky acts like a thug and smacks her in the face. Natty hits her with the Michinoku driver, then she slaps Becky, but that just fires Becky up, and she catches Natty into the summer for the tap out win. Out of nowhere, Carmella kicks both women after the match. It was actually very good editing because I never saw her. It's good shit. AJ is stalking the backstage area waiting for Shane to get here. They try to, you know, plug John and his girlfriend at the Kids' Choice Awards. It's kind of gross. Carmella tells Daisy Fuentes that Daniel Bryan announced that every chick will have an opportunity for the title. And she said, you can call me the next champion. And Ellsworth is like, you know, being Ellsworth, lacking a chin, you know. Next up is Miz TV. He said that the very special guests were the It Couple, himself and his wife. They talk about their attack on Cena and Nikki from last week. And blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, the crowd is behind Miz because the crowd hates John for the most part. Miz says John is the most plastic person he's ever met, and he lives in L.A. Nikki recalls a story about how Nikki is a horrible person and basically, like, shaded her out of not signing a contract for Total Divas. It's long and involved and probably the truth. She says that Nikki stole money from her and took 3 years of her life, and she wants the world to know that Nikki is a lying.
She also did something similar to Maria back in the day.
Nikki did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. She seems like a shady bunch, you know. So John and Nikki run out and they chase Miz and Maurice from the ring. And she's like, no, I'm going to speak now. How could I have kept you from the whatever the fuck? Basically, you're still standing here. So how much influence could I possibly have? Long story, not so long. And she said, Nikki said Maurice was never her best friend and trying to make up a story now once her and Brie got success. And she's like, she challenges Maurice to a match. And Miz is like, you don't get to make your own matches, Nikki. You're not John Cena. And then Miz said Maurice doesn't have to prove herself. And then Daniel Bryan comes out and he's like, well, actually, you know, Miz, you're not the GM either. And then there's this whole thing about how everything the Miz does makes him want to punch him in the face, but he can't. And it's even more annoying because the Miz knows he can't. So the Miz is doing everything he can to make Bryan annoyed because he still can't punch him in the face. But what he can do is find two people who can punch the Miz in the face, which would be Nikki and John. So therefore, there will be a match at WrestleMania, aka the face-punching extravaganza of Nikki and John versus Maurice and Miz. And it's like, oh, okay. So then they do the yes chant because we love Daniel Bryan. Thoughts, questions, concerns, comments?
Nikki Bella looks so happy to be in the ring with her man.
She was jumping all over him, wrapped her legs around him. Girl, say something for the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Trying to steal kisses. John looking all uncomfortable.
They're weird, and I don't like it. Next is Mickie James versus Alexa Bliss. There was some back and forth. And
hashtag 5 feet of fury. Hashtag Bliss Cakes champ. Hashtag have a bliss day.
Hashtag, she still lost though. Will be a Mick kick. Yeah.
Why you gotta be bringing up the details?
Facts is, it's what I get paid to do, you know, quote unquote. Next, Renee catches up to AJ, who's still backstage. He tells Renee that WrestleMania is the ultimate thrill ride, so he's going to get his thrills when he can, because remember, he still doesn't have a WrestleMania match. So the garage door opens, AJ ducks behind a car. Shane gets out of the car, and AJ, like, jumps him, beats the fuck out of him, throws his head through a window. We see later that there just so happened to be a camera in the car. So you can see, like, the impact. It's ridiculous.
Oh, that was a good beatdown.
It was.
He was like, you want to talk about opportunities? You give opportunities. It's an opportunity for me to whoop your ass. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Shane's bleeding from the top of his head, and they call for help. Finley's there.
In his suit. Mm-hmm.
Suit looking like a proper Caucasian. I don't know. It's very nice. So Shane's getting tended to by EMT, and there's a trail of blood on the side of his face. They want to take him to the emergency room, but you know, Shane is he ain't going to no emergency room. He's going to no hospital. So he's just going to go to the trainer's room, and you know, they help him up and all that. So AJ gets his stuff in the locker room, and the Usos are like, why'd you do that? That's not smart. And then Daniel's like, I am very disappointed in you. That is the act of a coward. And AJ's like, well, what you going to do, fire me? And then Daniel's like, damn right, I'm going to fire you. And then they kick AJ out of the building, and then they boo. So, because, you know, we like AJ. Next is Mojo versus Dolph, the Ziggles. Tall Ziggles over the top rope, and Ziggles left on some Kevin Owens shit.
Yeah, after three times.
Oh,
yeah, he threw him out.
It happened thrice?
Yes, it did.
Did we talk about this guy, Eric LeGrand, getting the Warrior Award?
Yes, we did during the Raw review.
Cool. I really didn't get the point. And then I was like, oh, he likes wrestling. Awesome. He's inspirational, though. Y'all gonna cry if y'all watch it. I can see it already. The tears is gonna trickle down.
Mm-hmm. Song cry.
Mm-mm-mm. Luckily, I'm a thug and I don't do that. Next, Randy versus Bray.
Girl, you know you watched this with two boxes of Kleenex.
I don't got time to be crying. Here's the thing. Them doggone ASPCA commercials get me. So what I do is I just don't do things that would make me want to cry. I can't avoid commercials because I don't have a DVR. So I got to do what I can do. Mm-hmm. And that includes not watching this man tell his inspiring story and trying to have me cry. Not today. So, yeah. Randy, he doesn't face Bray Wyatt, but he addresses him. He talks and he talks. And he's like, basically, he has now made it such that Bray Wyatt is completely alone. He done took away Luke, the ginger been gone, Braun is over on Raw, and he done burned up the essence of Sister Abigail. So he's done. And then Bray appears on the screen from the gravesite. It's like, yeah, you're right. But you thought you burned her soul, but what you didn't know is that Sister Abigail is the spawn of Satan. Therefore, her heart still beats. Power on to him. He says it's his duty to purge of all of the world's infidels. And he is going to start with Randy, All Lives Matter Orton.
Hey guys, have you heard my theory on what's going to happen at WrestleMania? Don't have heard it already.
Is it a real theory or is it your sources? Because I live a
kayfabe life. It's just me thinking. I mean, I haven't actually heard any spoilers or anything.
Okay, because I live a kayfabe life and I do not want spoilers. Go ahead.
Key fob. Okay, so Don's going to get a kick out of this. So Randy, you know, continuing to mess with Bray's head, right? He likes to mess with it. He's going to pull the ultimate mess with your head on Bray, right? So a woman is going to come out, you know, with the veil and everything, you know, and Bray is going to be just like completely transfixed. He's like, you know, it's Sister Abigail. And this woman gets to the ring, pulls the veil back, and it's actually Bo Dallas. And Bray is so distracted that Randy Orton hits him with the RKO and pins him. And because he's Sister Abogail.
Oh my God.
Abogail.
See, this is what happens when you drink Mountain Dew.
Come on, that's a great idea. Come on.
It's you know what? Sure. Ooh, Mr. and Mrs. Smith is on. Okay, next.
That's Mr. and Mrs. Dirty Mac in his own.
Hey, you would too. So Bray is in the ring. No, he's on the screen rubbing the ashes on himself. Because remember, I guess these are Abigail's satanic ashes. And then he screams, follow the buzzards and all that. So then they show a replay of Baron Corbin trying to kill Dean Ambrose. I was a fan of it. I didn't see the problem. Daisy finds Corbin and she's like, don't you think you crossed the line last week? And he's like, listen, there are only actions and consequences. And Ambrose came after him, so he put him in the hospital. So then logic. It's ordered. I don't mind it. So he says Ambrose is supposed to be the man who can come back from anything. So if he can get out of his hospital bed, Baron will take the IC title from him at WrestleMania. So that's a match we can look forward to. Last match of the night is the Usos versus the Tag Team Champions American Alpha. This is not for a title match. This is just a match to be had. You can tell they don't care about the match because while they're doing that, they're also showing a split screen of Shane and he's walking through the building with Fit Finley and Jamie Noble. Jamie Noble's still alive! Yay! Was he the one who got thrown into the car, or was that the other little midget?
Jamie Noble got stabbed.
He got stabbed in real life outside his home, his trailer home. In West Virginia. Fits all the stereotypes.
You're telling me that in real life, Jamie Noble really lives in a trailer park. Or in a trailer. Let's just say that.
No, trailer park. Yes.
So maybe it is in a trailer park. It's a trailer in a trailer park.
Yes, this was in the news.
In West Virginia, where he then got stabbed.
The man lives as a gimmick. I mean, what can we say?
Gotta save your money, kid.
He's like that kayfabe life for real. Like,
there's a funny story I'm going to tell you after the show, okay?
That's dedication.
Okay.
What I was talking about, though, is remember when Brock Lesnar beat up the two short people? Jamie and the other one? No? Yes? Anyway.
Joey Mercury?
Oh, yeah. Joey Mercury? Yeah.
Sure, that sounds mm-hmm. right. And I was just saying, was he the one that got thrown into the car? Or was that the other one?
No, that was him.
Okay. See, I remember something.
Yeah, that was fun.
He got stabbed in the fucking trailer park?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does he still live in the trailer park? Or, you know what? None of my business. None of my black business.
No, there's a funny story that I'll tell you after the show. I'll tell you later.
That is crazy. Like, I'm not even focused on this anymore. Like, what do you mean you got stabbed at the trailer park? Like, oh my God. Oh, I can't even focus. Okay. The Usos are about to hit a dive from the top, but the other brothers, the non-twin siblings, see it coming and are like, yeah, jump. So there's a stall, and then the brothers who are not twins hit a drop kick. Back from commercial, there's another split screen. Again, nobody really cares about the match. And Jordan and Gable are about to win, but Jimmy pushes Gable off the top rope and then hits Jordan with a super kick, which allows Jay, the skinny twin, to make the cover for the win. Nobody cares about any of this, though, because they're really still doing the split screen with Shane. And we can see Shane walking through, picking up a microphone. He comes to the stage and he says, AJ Styles says that he didn't have an opponent for WrestleMania. He does now. Mic drop. Show immediately cuts off because SmackDown don't run over.
And so we get a shot of Todd Chrisley.
Whom I love. Please don't kill my vibe and tell me he's racist either. I don't have
to. I actually slight the guy. At first, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? But he's shown, like, because he shows up at WWE events, and he looks like he'd be the fun dad. Mm-hmm. He looks like he'd be, his kids have a lot of fun hanging out with him.
Yeah, he don't take no shit, but he's a good dude.
is that it?
But yeah, that's it for Smacky Downey.
Did you enjoy it?
I guess. I don't remember it. I don't know. Did I? No, I watched it.
Were you reaching out to your TV to try to help Shane? I know he's your silver fox.
You know
how
I feel about my silver fox. Like, I care. But, you know, I did tell those who follow the hashtag, I have a very big problem with Nikki Bella. Because, she rips off her shirt to reveal a shirt that's the exact same size. And I really just don't have time.
I was like, let me go see the replay on this.
No. She's been doing it for years. Like, I guess nobody's going to tell her that kind of defeats the purpose. Like, this isn't a Hulk Hogan thing where it's like, ooh, chesticles. It's just like the same shirt you had on before, but in a different color. I mean, I guess it's nice to know it comes in different colorways, but like, what are you?
Just like a Naomi's second shirt was just, it's the same shirt with a different color.
Mm.
And I'm kind of,
I'm shocked that you let Maryse slide with her promo.
I don't think I was hearing her, actually. I'm pretty sure I missed that part.
Oh, okay. Because
She talks too much. I can't. It's too much accent a lot of the time, and so I have learned how to tune her out.
Yeah, it was a lot of accent. You're right.
Mm-hmm. French Canadian, ridiculous.
Kayfabe. So NXT.
We're gonna tell everybody how they can support the podcast, how they can help keep all the podcasts free here on CSPN Special. So especially the WrestleCast. They can do like I did earlier this week and invest in some new headphones through Skullcandy through CSPN.us. Go to our website, CSPN.us, scroll down to the side that says support the podcast, support the network, click on that. Then you can click inside the Skullcandy link. That'll take you to the Skullcandy website. Shop like you normally would. Get some free shipping on some new earbuds or a Bluetooth speaker or a headset, gaming headset, DJ headset. And that money that you spend, a little bit of it comes back to us to help keep our podcast free so we can give you these great podcasts that you guys hear from us each and every week here on CSPN. So again, shop Skullcandy through CSPN to help keep our podcast free. So first we're going to get into a little bit of 205 Live before we get into NXT. Neville opens up the show with the promo on breaking his ankle 1 year ago in this venue and having to miss WrestleMania. He says that he realized nobody cared and when he was gone, and that his recent run through the division was a reminder of who he was. Our first match was Mustafa Ali versus Drew Gulak. Ali gets the win with the inverted 450 from the top rope. Drew Gulak then cuts a post-match promo about being tired of losing every week. He says that he isn't the problem. The real problem is 205 Live, and it needs to change. We get Daivari and Noam Dar backstage. They're getting ready for their rematch with Rich Swann and Jack Gallagher. Dar says that they need to win tonight because Alicia only stays with winners. Rich Swann and Jack Gallagher versus Noam Dar and Daivari. Noam Dar hits a step up enziguri to Rich Homie Swann to get the pin. After the match, Noam Dar dedicates the victory to Alicia Fox. Then a gentleman shows up with a bear, who he then, you know, promptly snatches out of his hand and gives to Alicia and makes up some line about, you know, the teddy bear being for Alicia Fox. Then we get our main event. Austin Aries, the Brian Kendrick, Akira Tozawa, Tony Nese, and TJ Perkins in a five-way elimination match for the number one contender. Tony Nese taps out to TJ Perkins' armbar. He's the first person eliminated. Tozawa then gets eliminated by Brian Kendrick with the sliced bread number two. Perkins then goes for the detonation kick, but Kendrick holds on to his foot. Aries falls on top, and Kendrick piles on, so they double pin him, and TJ Perkins is gone. Austin Aries escapes to Captain Hook. Then he hits Kendrick with the roaring elbow and gets the win and becomes the number one contender and will face Neville at WrestleMania for the Cruiserweight Championship. And Austin Aries pointing up at the sign was how we ended 205 Live. So now we'll go into some NXT. Start off with the Ely brothers trying to avenge last week's demolishing at the hands of the Authors of Pain as they battled the Authors of Pain. The Authors of Pain hit the Super Collider. They followed that by the Last Chapter to get the win. After the match, Paul Ellering cuts promo on the Revival. That brings out Gargano and Ciampa. They come down and demand a one-on-one or one-team-on-team championship rematch. The Revival comes out and cuts promo on Paul and the Authors of Pain. Lastly, Regal comes down and makes a triple threat elimination match for TakeOver Orlando. We get a cool Asuka video package where she's sitting by the pool talking about how dominant she is and that there's nobody in NXT that can give her any competition and that, you know, she's going to be the champion for as long as she wants to be. We have Macy Australia versus Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross gives Macy five corkscrew neck breakers to get the win. After the match, No Way Jose and Todd Dillinger attack Sandy from behind. But eventually the numbers game prevails and they give No Way Jose the wheelbarrow netbreaker and they kick Todd Dillinger to sleep and then he gets the big senton from Big Damo. We get the Aleister Black, a.k.a. Tommy N, coming soon vignette. Oh, and also Heavy Machinery, we have a vignette for them as they're coming into the tag team division too. Then they show last week Ember Moon hitting the eclipse on Billie Kay and how it left her injured, and they were just hyping out how devastating the eclipse is. Then we get Cien Almas in the back. He's bullying Ho-Ho Loon. It causes Oney Lorcan to stand up for Ho-Ho Loon, and now they make a match next week between Cien Almas and Oney Lorcan. And then we get our main event, Cassius Ohno versus Bobby Roode for the NXT title. Roode reversed the roll-up attempt by running Ohno throat first into the top rope, and then he followed that up with the glorious DDT, and Bobby Roode is still your NXT champion. And that was NXT for this week.
Great. See, the only reason I want Jeremy Borash on NXT is so he could say his name properly, you know, how he would announce it as Bobby Roode. That's how he did it back in the day.
Yeah, Roode.
So, did you guys, so I'm pretty sure neither one of y'all, none of y'all watched the Yay Old Impact last week.
Oh, no. I think Dee Dee was watching it a little bit this week.
Yeah, I fell asleep.
It was pretty much par for the course.
Yeah, I happen to know that Alberto won the title last week from Bobby Lashley, but then he also gave it up. And then he fought AC Carter. Is that his name? Yeah.
Spoilers.
It's not a spoiler, it's a review. He fought.
Well, I'm doing last week's. I haven't seen this one these weeks yet.
You're not going to watch it, Sammy.
Well, you don't know that. I watched last week, so I might as well watch this one.
Okay, so I'll ask you what you
watched. It's just like a quick rundown of like the reboot or whatever the heck.
Yeah, all I really, really know is that Alberto said, "This is my house," and then I promptly fell asleep.
Wait, isn't that what Paige used to say?
Yes, it is.
God.
And I was like, "You're annoying." God, like, already you're annoying. You just got there.
It's that milk of magnesia. That's what does that to you.
Yes.
So, yeah, they had a reboot. Like, it's like the new 52 or some shit. I don't know. Pretty much throughout the whole show, Jeremy Borash and that Matthews kid, a.k.a. God, this is just so bad. So Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews just were basically bickering the entire show. And it was funny at first, but then it just got really old really, really fast. Cody Rhodes came out every now and then looking for Moose, knowing full well that Moose was in Japan and he wasn't going to respond. Let's see, what else happened? Reno Scum had their debut against the DCC, which is weird. DCC has like a cyberpunk type anonymous gimmick, but because it's James Storm, they still come out to country music for some strange reason. Reno Scum won their debut match, and no one gave a shit because Borash and Matthews were fighting the entire time. There's footage from the big wedding. Mackenzie tries to interview Maria, but Sienna arrives and says that Maria had a nervous breakdown and she would not be coming back. So I guess that's how they wrote her out. So this is my first time actually getting a chance to see Allie. Allie is Cherry Bomb from Shimmer, that place that Edie loves so much.
It's a mirage.
And also, I also figured out that Laurel Van Ness is Chelsea Green from Shine. So Bryson Sutter had, which is really bad. I don't even want to talk about that. Sienna fought Rachel Ellering. And Sienna won, but the commentary was just so bad. You couldn't pay attention to any match just because they were just bickering the entire time. And just Bruce Richard cut a promo. Half of what he was talking about was he talked about WWE half the time. Let's see here. More arguing. Cody did his thing again. The guy who wrote this one says, Cody tosses his GFW GNX title in the ring like it's supposed to mean something. Let's see. So Dutch Mantel comes out with his scooter. He says he used to be subculture in an alternate universe, whatever that means. Talks about WWE some more. And he even had the nerve to do the We the People.
Mm-mm. How dare he?
So Brother Nero is training for a match against Smoking Joe Frazier, the kangaroo. And he's training with like a monkey. The monkey rakes his eyes at one point, and Matt says, if you do that during the match, the official will reprimand you. So yeah, so they have so Jeff fights a kangaroo. They decide to teleport. They said that they're leaving. They're on to their next title challenge. When they teleport back to the arena, it's not the Hardys. Instead, it's your favorite faction, Dee Dee.
Hmm.
Your favorite? You don't know who your favorite faction is?
Who, the Samoans? What?
The Decay.
Oh no, not at all.
So yeah, so they have a teleporting. Yeah, they have a teleporting accident, and the Decay arrives instead, and there you. They come out and they're like, we fool them. They pick up the tag team titles off the floor and they claim that the Broken Hardys were deleted, obsolete, and decayed. Matt on Twitter was not amused. He says, what is this chicanery? No being can teleport without being in direct contact with the incomparable Vanguard One, Anthem Owlman. God. Jeremy Borash announces that Slammiversary is going to take place in July. Like anyone is actually going to order that show. So then we have the championship match between Lashley and Alberto. Stuff happens, ref bumps, no one cares, it was whatever. So, like, at one point, Brian Hebner falls, and then there's another referee. Alberto picks up the belt and hits Lashley with it, but he does it right in front of Brian Hebner, who's not supposed to be looking, but he's looking up because he's trying to see, like, you know, his signal or whatever, and then, like, the painful gets counted. And so apparently there's a dusty finish, because on Twitter, There was a dusty finish, and no one cared, and I don't know why I watched this show. It was just really bad. It was good at first, but it was just I just couldn't do it anymore.
You like to torture yourself. You like to torture yourself. You're a masochist.
I kind of want them to do better, though. It's like...
It's TNA. What ability have they shown you that they're going to do better?
It's Alpact. I've decided to call the show Alpact Wrestling.
I mean, yeah, Impact, excuse me. I mean, but what? When have they shown you that they're going to... They had one summer
where
they were good.
I like to see what's... I like to be in the know. I like to laugh.
No, I won't do that to
Bruce Pritchard and them... Apparently, okay, word on the street is that people think that Russo was actually back and he wrote this show.
They're denying it.
Back, if he's back, I'm done. I'm completely 100% done. I will never watch this show again.
Well, you and Jim Cornette being the same malt shop together.
Talk about old school wrestling, yeah. Talk about the brawl in the snake bar in Tupelo, Mississippi.
That's right.
Yeah. One of the greatest. Did you ever see, want to see a great brawl? You need to watch that one.
Which one?
It's a brawl. I don't even remember. Was it Murdoch? It was somebody. It was some. Nah, it was a big brawl that happened in the snack bar. And like the commentator was like, "There's mustard flying everywhere."
It's actually up on the WrestleCast Tumblr page.
Oh, okay.
Is it really? You need to watch that. That's how you do a brawl.
It's actually bar. it's Honky Tonk Man, whose Wayne. Real name is Wayne Ferris. I forgot who his partner is. And I think it's Bill Dundee and somebody else, and somebody's Bill Dundee's partner. And they're the four guys that are doing it.
And it's a really great brawl.
And
it was back in the 70s, back before people really realized it was fake.
And like 15 years later, Chris Benoit and Kevin Sullivan recreated it for WCW. In Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yeah. Yeah, Tupelo, Mississippi, ever since then, has been like one of those wrestling towns that people go at you often. All right, so next I'm just going to give a quick rundown of ROH. Don, you said you saw some of this?
I watched a couple of things.
All right, so Kenny King versus Jay White. Meh, Jay White won.
Yes.
Kenny King is, he's the grit. He's gotten worse.
Yeah, I mean, when he's putting over the New Japan young boy, he's definitely digress.
This guy was wrestling when I was in high school, and he hasn't done anything with his career. Absolutely nothing. Jay White pinned Kenny King in 2 minutes and 5 seconds. Who is this commentator? Rico Boni or Ricky Bobo? Ricky Bobby?
Hell if I know, dude.
Greg, do you have any? Do you know who this character is? I think Greg fell asleep.
No, I'm wrestling with my phone right now.
No, okay. He's having a little match with his phone. Yeah, I have no idea who this kid is. But Colt Cabana was on commentary, and he kind of made it a little better. Page against Kazarian, against Saban, against Silas Young, against Cheeseburger, and against what was his name? Punishment Martinez?
Yeah.
This is the dude that we saw at Honor Rising, remember?
Mm-hmm. And I was asking you.
This good. Yeah, I've never seen this guy before. Yeah, this guy's tall, but he can move. He's not long for ROH at all. I think they're going to snatch him up ASAP. What are your thoughts on young Mr. Martinez?
Yeah, he looks promising. I mean, he moved, like you say, moves really good. He has high impact moves. He carries himself well for a big guy. So, yeah, he's definitely should be on WWE's radar. It's definitely the package that they look for.
Yeah. So, yeah, Kazarian won this match.
Frankie.
So I had no idea. Like, I didn't know until, like, this commentary that Cheeseburger is actually just Shawn Michaels' favorite wrestler.
I can see that because he's been in the New Japan Battle Royal the past couple of years, and Jushin Thunder Liger usually looks out for him.
Yeah, like man, when you get the rub from a guy like Liger, yeah.
Well, Cheeseburger is popular as hell, man.
Right.
He's like
I just
the
hope
new,
he never bolts up because then that's the end of him.
He's the new Spike Dudley.
Hey, you remember that? You probably don't remember this. The storyline where they said that like that Spike Dudley was actually the mastermind behind the Dudley Boys.
I don't remember
and
that.
He was like he was slapping and pushing like Bubba and Devon around, and he was like the leader of the. It was really stupid. It was towards the end of their run.
Mm-hmm.
He was done. Anyway, Jay Lethal and Bobby Fish, really, really, really good match. 15 minutes. Lethal won with the Lethal Injection, which he looked really strong. This was probably to me this was match of the night. I mean, the main event was good too, but this was match. This was like the. This was the Steamboat and Macho Man of the show.
Of the show. Yeah, for sure. So Bobby Fish is one of my favorites, and Jay Lethal is a man. Two people who need to get into the big time before it's too late.
Well, I think Lethal's time has already passed. I don't know, but who knows? I mean, there's some people in their 30s who are just getting. I mean, look at Nakamura and them.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, Jay Lethal's already like 35.
Yeah. But Bobby Fish definitely he'll definitely be in there at some point. So let's see here. Here's the match that you saw: Matt Taven, TK O'Ryan, and Vinny Marcella against Dalton Kessel and the Boys.
The Boys.
So this match ended when This match pretty much came to a screeching halt when TK O'Ryan was on the apron, and he attempted an Einstein moonsault and overshot his shot, and pretty much went shins first onto the middle barricade and broke his freaking leg.
It was a really bad bump, really bad miss. The guys really did a good job of getting out of the match, though. They went on for like another 15, 25 seconds and got out of the match so they could get the EMTs and things down there to help them out. But yeah, it's not looking good.
I like how like the boys did the twin magic and Cole Cabana was so like upset. He was calling out Tom Sinclair. He's like, Todd! Todd! That was great. So Marty Scurll versus Lio Rush for the ROH title. I think this is the first time I see Marty Scurll. I'm not sure if he was at the show that I went to, but yeah, there's a lot of Marty chants. Lio Rush,
like him?
Yeah, he's good. Like the guy can go, but Lio Rush, he's the sleeper of the whole promotion, actually. So it's kind of weird. He kind of got some boos, and I'm wondering if it's because like word got out that he's pretty much going to be leaving pretty soon. I don't know. What do you think, Don? Did you go away?
Well, I'm just not familiar with his. I'm not familiar with his with him at all, so I don't know what his contract situation is.
The guy is real good. I mean, he came from Evolve, and word is he's already taking bookings back there already. It's not, and he's probably going to leave. But yeah.
Well, you know,
so Marty Scurll. Plus Marty Scurll got the win, so that kind of tells you that they're jobbing him out.
Yeah. Plus Evolve has got that tie-in with WWE, so.
Yeah. So yeah, the ROH. Yeah, Marty Scurll retained the title at 18 minutes and 40 seconds. Here's a good match. The Briscoes and Bully Ray against War Machine and Davey Boy Smith Jr. Originally, it was going to be Lance Archer, but yeah, he got hurt.
So they sure did.
Davey Boy. So really, really, really good match. This is pretty good. This is fun. I mean, a lot of the Briscoes or matches are fun, and they add Bully Ray in the mix. At one point, they said, get the tables, but no one ever got any tables, which I thought was kind of funny. So it was pretty cool. Bully Ray was wearing his Aces and Eights jacket for some strange reason. I guess he gives no fucks. So,
defiance.
All right. So the Hardys against the Broken Hardys against the Bucks of Youth against Roppongi Vice with that awesome theme music and a Las Vegas Street Fight for the ROH title. Did you see this one, Don?
I did not catch that.
This was great.
This sounded like it was fantastic.
It was. Rocky Romero put on a like a sleeve with thumbtacks all over it, and he was just like chopping everybody with it. It was great, but like this match was a lot of fun. So the Hardys won. The Hardys retained. They Jeff climbed the ladder, performed a swanton, and got the three count. I think it was on Breda. Yeah, it was on Breda. So I guess they want to save the pinning the Bucks until later or whatever, or if they lose or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they chopped out Roppongi. So then you got the main event, Adam Cole versus Chris Daniels for the ROH title. Pretty good match. Adam Cole dominated most of it. So Kazarian comes out towards the end and, like, you know, starts berating Daniels, and he wants to hit him with the belt. But then, like, Kazarian has a change of heart, drops the title belt, flips off Cole. Daniels hits his finish, and Daniels wins the title. But it was great. Like, Chris Daniels does the – have you heard of this move that he does, Best Moonsault Ever?
Mm-hmm.
He jumps up on that thing and goes, Best moonsault ever. Yeah, he did that, and it was great. And apparently, so, three times. The Frankie and Daniel's breakup was all a ruse, and they were best friends all the time.
The opposite of Kevin Owens and...
Yeah, right? So, yeah, this was really good. The whole show was great.
Yeah.
ROH actually, picked it up.
Big ups to Chris Daniels.
Yeah, finally winning that title. Yeah, like, Terry Silkin came out at the end of the show, presented him with the original ROH title, which is really cool.
Yeah, man, it's like 47 years old.
Right? I saw Shine 41. I didn't see the whole thing, but I know, let's see, just some matches. Ariel Monroe, a.k.a. Cedric Alexander, is, I think they're actually married now, went up against Priscilla Kelly. Now, Dee Dee, are you still there? Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm
okay. Okay, now, I know you like to watch the trash reality TV, right? Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch the Gypsy Show, the Gypsy Family, the crazy Gypsy Family?
No, I'm not. I'm not interested in white people in my reality shows.
No, I'll just say because Priscilla Kelly. Priscilla Kelly is the young daughter from that show.
So she's
a wrestler now. Yeah, no, she's straight up Paige. She's Paige but taller.
Cool.
So yeah, so yeah, she has like a weird, like kind of like gothy kind of gimmick, and she took a bite out of Ariel Monroe's neck. It was great, but Ariel Monroe pinned her and defeated her. Let's see what else. Thea Trinidad defeated Brandi Lauren, so that was a good showing there. Let's see, ACR with La Rosa Negra, who we follow on Twitter, and I often retweet her, defeated Dynamite Didi and Jamie Jameson and Leva Bates. Sue Young, she went from like being like a Pokemon gimmick to now she's like the girl from the ring. So she defeated Candy Cartwright. She had a pretty good match against Paige's mom. Like they had a Monsters Ball match, and that was a really great match. That was like a few months ago though. So let's see here. So Lufisto against Ivelisse for the Shine Championship. Now Ivelisse had the title, but then she remember when she got hurt, Don, and she couldn't compete in the LU. Okay, so when that happened, she had to drop her title to Lufisto, and now they're finally having their match, and a pretty good match. Ivelisse is her crew. She has a crew called the Sicarias, which is Theo Trinidad, Mercedes Martinez, ACR, and I'm guessing La Rosa Negra. Yeah, so they all come out because Amber O'Neil and the rest of her crew come out and try to, like, you know, they try to interfere on Lufisto's behalf. So then, so ACR is on Ivelisse's side. She's hanging out with La Rosa Negra, and they're all just, it's a really good match, and they're going back and forth. All of a sudden, ACR turns. She hits La Rosa Negra with a chair and high fives Amber O'Neil and distracted Ivelisse, and Lufisto retains her title with a burning hammer. Didi, we got ourselves a distraction finish.
Oh yay!
So yeah, I was really I was hurt. I tweeted ACR. I said, "How could you? How dare you?" But that's not all. The lights went out when they came back on. Soo Young was in the ring. You know the girl I just said was like the girl from the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, blood poured from the ceiling and onto frightened Lufisto, and this was great. This is a great ending. Now I have to see Shine 42.
So they did the Kane and Stone Cold, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Yeah, now I definitely got to see what happens next, because Soo Young can go and Lufisto can go. Lufisto was, I think she had a, I remember I saw her, she had a match against Athena one time at a Shimmer show. That was really good, great. And I think she also had a cage match against Kong. So, I know why she's not signed, because she's not like a skinny, pretty model. That's why she's not in WWE, but she can wrestle. So that is your indie roundup, I guess, if you want to call it that. Is there anything else before we say our shout-outs and get out of here?
No, I think that's it, man, for this week.
All right, we're gonna let Greg get his shout outs first.
Shouts out to the entire crew for the WrestleCast for having me back. It's been a long time, but it was nice to chop it up with you guys and gal again. Shouts out to all the listeners, people on Twitter, to show the podcast love, and that's it.
All right, Beauty.
Shout out to Mayo, because Mayo always gets shout outs. Shout out to my boss. She's leaving the job after 13 years. So that's fun. Shout out to St. Patrick's Day, because it's today, depending on when you listen to this.
On your half birthday, right?
On my half birthday. I'm halfway to another year being single as fuck. Yes. It's great.
You'll be all right.
Listen, I was watching Little Women LA. Be single. Spread it that way. Yeah, shout out to
to what?
I said that's it.
Oh,
okay.
I'd like to give shout outs to Magnum Prime, aka Greg, for being able to join us tonight. First time in a long time. Always great to chop it up with you. Like, give a shout out to Classic. Give a shout out to, of course, Sam, Didi. I'd like to inform everybody that starting on Tuesday that we are coming out with a new podcast, me and JPK Moto, so go follow her on Twitter. It's going to be called Cast of Strong Style, and it's going to be a New Japan Pro Wrestling standalone podcast. It'll come out twice a month, so you guys will get two doses of it every month, and we'll be just reviewing everything New Japan in depth, kind of like we do here at the WrestleCast, but with a new twist. So check that out. Be looking for that. It'll be called Cast of Strong Style. It'll be all over your Twitter account and my timeline. So download, subscribe, rate, review, support us just like you guys do the WrestleCast. It's just another little branch off of New Japan. So we'll get people talking about that and get people following that and watching that, subscribing to New Japan World. And so a new movement, Cast of Strong Style.
Alrighty. I only have one shout out to Lady Nikki on Twitter. doing her thing. She's going to be at Raw this week, this coming Monday, so keep an eye out for her. And it looks like that's about it, unless you guys have anything else. Anything? Nothing? At all? Okay. And for the WrestleCast, we are out of here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got beat by the great John Cena. I admit it. I accept it. I accept it. I learned to live with it. But I expected my rematch for the championship. And what did I get? A triple threat match that I didn't get beat in, that I didn't lose. Did I get my rematch after that? Nope. I got the Elimination Chamber match with five other WWE superstars. Oh, but wait, wait, there's more. You see, there was a battle royal where I clearly won, but there was some controversy, so Luke Harper and I had a match where I beat him 1, 2, 3 in this ring. And what happens next? Randy Orton burns down Bray Wyatt's house and he doesn't get arrested. He doesn't go to jail. He goes to the main event of WrestleMania. Anyone who knows this business knows that AJ Styles had the best year in 2016. I'm the one that put SmackDown Live on the map. I'm the reason why your butts are in the seats. I'm the reason why your eyes are glued to the television set. I'm the reason why everyone subscribes to the WWE Network. And what do I get? I don't even have a match at WrestleMania. So tell me, on what planet does the greatest ever WWE superstars not have a match at WrestleMania? So that's when I took a stand. You see, I could have walked in there and slapped the kale chips right out of Daniel Bryan's mouth. But we know Daniel Bryan's no more than a puppet here in the WWE. But Shane McMahon, on the other hand, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a conversation right here tonight about my career. That is, if I even have one.